You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 15th, 2022, Good Friday, in advance of this coming Easter Sunday. And the word from the Ukrainian President Zelensky, the world should be, quote, ready for the possibility that Putin could use nuclear weapons. He was speaking a day after CIA Director William Burns said, given the potential desperation of Putin and the Russian leadership, given the setbacks they faced so far militarily, none of us can take lightly the threat posed by a potential resort to tactical nuclear weapons or low-yield nuclear weapons. So Zelensky said, not only me, but all the world, all the countries, had to be worried because it can be the truth. Some of those, of course, refer to the so-called suitcase bombs. There are at least 400 of them, at least 400 missing after the USSR broke up. Suitcase bombs pretty much describes what they look like. They're not on top of a ballistic missile. They are a low-yield nuclear weapon, but they can kill 10 to 20,000 and still create a radiation hazard afterwards. Russia now claims it's destroyed a factory in Kyiv that makes anti-ship missiles. That's because Russia is now also confirming that, yes, the ship that caught fire in the Black Sea and sunk, while Russia originally wanted to say it was because of an accident on board. And my first thought was, if it wasn't hit by a missile, the accident might have been sabotaged by Russian sailors on board. But now Russia is acknowledging that two Ukrainian missiles hit the ship before it sank. So now they went after a missile plant in Kyiv. And you heard then on the network news, disturbing news, as if you could find worse coming out of Ukraine. The Russian military carrying out a new level of cleansing in the sense that Russian troops are in the process of digging up bodies previously buried in the yards of some residential buildings, and then they are putting them into these portable incinerators. They want to destroy any evidence that might be used as a war crime. Remember, these portable devices were also sent in originally to use against Russian troops when they were killed, so body bags would not be shipped back to Russia. China said that it did stage some exercises today because U.S. officials made a visit to Taiwan. The drills conducted by the People's Liberation Army, they say, were a countermeasure to negative actions of the U.S., including the visit of congressmen who went to Taiwan. All they did was go and see and talk and then board a plane and leave. But China considered that a provocation. Well, the White House asked to re-spin its story about Texas Governor Abbott sending illegals to the Capitol on buses. A third bus arrived today. Now the official response from the White House is, well, we thank him for helping get migrants deeper into the country. But we're still, of course, watching over them and processing them. And I say they probably are not, but that's the story they're telling you so far. And do you remember the story about the Border Patrol agents on horseback that were accused of using whips against the Haitian illegals coming across the border? And you were told they were not using whips. They were using the horse's reins used to control the horse, trying to keep the people away from the horse, prevent them from being injured, and trying to get them to back up. Well, the investigation has now finally been completed. And the official word is, after the state-controlled media made a big deal that they are whipping black people along the border, the Haitians, the official investigation by the Department of Homeland Security into the Del Rio Sector patrol agents on horseback determines no wrongdoing. Well, that's at least true. I'm glad they finally acknowledged it.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. It's really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they are able to speak freely within the bounds of the law. One of the things that I believe Twitter should do is open source the algorithm. And make any changes to people's tweets, if they're emphasized or de-emphasized, that action should be made apparent so anyone can see that action has been taken. So there's no sort of behind-the-scenes manipulation, either algorithmically or manually.
And you got applause for that. That's Elon Musk at a TED convention, explaining why he's interested in buying Twitter. He says it's for free speech. It's so that you could post something on Twitter that should be a public platform for everyone, a town forum. And you can therefore post opposing views if you want, but everyone has a chance to make a statement. Twitter and all of the big tech companies operate under a provision that allows them not to be sued as a radio station or a newspaper might be, because they don't really have control over what's coming in if everybody has access to put it on. What he's getting at, though, is that they also need to make public their algorithms as to how and why some things get discredited or even folks removed, like a Donald Trump. And at the same time would allow a Khomeini, the leader of the Muslim jihadist, to have a Twitter account. That makes no sense, does it? Of course it doesn't, because it's not about Twitter being anything about free speech in the conglomerate world. It's about controlling what's put on there. I'm still on Twitter. I don't have a blue check mark. They won't authorize it. I don't know, and I could care less, really. And I still use it. I use it more than I do Parler, which is another option. And, of course, I was using YouTube for live streaming this program until They shut us down. They didn't like what we did. But there was another perfect example of a company with its, quote, algorithms or determinations or fact checkers or whatever they want to call them, deciding that what my content was unsuitable. What, because I interview somebody you don't like? Or maybe I made a statement you don't like. Or maybe you consider anything I say hate speech. Some do. But the problem is you never get an answer. And Facebook finally had to admit that its checkers on Facebook, checking for facts, it wasn't a specialized group. It's just some people they hired with their own views and determinations of what they thought was right or wrong, and they just go in there and say this is being pulled down, it's not factually accurate, or they would then post a warning or notice on the Twitter and our Facebook account. You know, I told you the other day while we were on the air, I did it, if you recall. I tweeted out that, let me find the tweet because there was some reaction that came in I want to share with you. I decided to tweet out to see how they would treat it, that you're not allowed to question the election. You remember that? Anyone who questioned the election, you are immediately considered radical, you're hateful, you're racist, you're a bigot, you're misogynistic. And so if you put up anything like that, well, then they were going to come after you. So what I did while we were on air, I put on a tweet and I said, I wonder how long this will stay up and what will happen with it. Because I was quoting someone else who is also questioning the 2020 election and saying it was rigged. I wasn't saying it. Trump was not saying it. You know who was saying it? And this was, here's the way I wrote it. 2 days ago, April 13th. The 2020 election was stolen, according to Hillary Clinton. Yeah, it was her, Hillary Clinton, making those remarks that the election was stolen. And I had one comment. Well, there were some folks who liked it. And then one comment was, oh, they're not there anymore. Well, maybe I pulled it up on the wrong way. So I'm not going to blame that on Twitter. But there were comments like, yeah, we'll see if this goes, stays or not. They didn't pull it down. They didn't put any post with it. Maybe because I added Hillary Clinton's name to it. But maybe if I just said the 2020 election was rigged and didn't state anybody. I will tell you this, if I'd put, so says Sidney Powell, who I'd had on previously before, they probably would have done something because Facebook sent me a warning the day after we had, well, actually a week after we had Sidney Powell on. Don't put her on again. This is your first strike or we'll cut you off Facebook. Okay. See, that's not an open forum. That's what Musk is saying. That's what we need. That's what Twitter was meant to be. And he's offering a 20% increase above what the current stock price is. There's been another change on that. I'll get to that in a moment. But that issue came up in the TED conference when he's talking about Twitter and his view and what it should be used for and how it should be used. The cost of it is pretty enormous. I mean, that's a lot of money. We're talking about something like $46 billion, I think, was the, I'm sorry, yeah, $43 billion at his quoted price, $43 billion. Here's Musk again.
What I'm saying is this is not a way to sort of make money. You know, I think this is. It's just that I think this is. This could my strong intuitive sense is that having a public platform that is maximally trusted and broadly inclusive is extremely important to the future of civilization.
But you've described yourself.
I don't care about the economics at all.
Well, to be that wealthy that you don't really care about the economics. If you lose money, he doesn't care. He, as I said, he's offering an 18 to 20% more than what the company is currently paying. But the company's finding a way to fight back. Some of them, first of all, you had one of the big financial giants come in and try to say, well, we'll buy Twitter or offer more than what he's offering. And when that didn't work, then they've come up with the poison pill. The poison pill would be the option for them to get into the stockholders and say, we will still give you more money than Musk. That would allow, by the poison pill, an effort to stop Musk from taking over Twitter. The press release just coming out today, it's a corporate anti-takeover defense mechanism. It won't necessarily stop Musk directly in his bid, but it could make buying the company more expensive or force him to the negotiating table with the board. So it doesn't mean it's over. But again, if he's willing to pay $43 million, and I don't really care about the money, the guy that owns Tesla, SpaceX, is the richest man in the world, even above Bezos. He said, I just want it because we need to have it once again be a true public forum, not subjected to algorithms that if you type in a word that triggers an alert, they go and see what it is and then redirect you somewhere else. Like if I use the word COVID in one of my promotions, if I'm just promoting COVID, say we're going to update you on COVID, there often would be posted on my Facebook for real information about COVID, go to this location. Well, who's that, CDC? Because this changed his mind repeatedly. Dr. Fake? Nope, he's also same thing. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on COVID, but what if I just said I'm going to tell you how to spell COVID? Oh, no, no. For a real source on that, they'll send you somewhere else. A lot of the members of the left are going absolutely bonkers over the fact that Musk might get control of Twitter. And some of the woke staffers that are inside Twitter have been absolutely upset. They have feared that, one of them said, I can't even deal with him buying Twitter. I may have to think my employment. Well, good, rethink it. Another one saying that he's going to destroy all of us and what we're trying to accomplish. Well, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to be fair or are you trying to put an agenda? But there are some Twitter employees that are kind of glad to see that maybe it will move away from wokeness and go back to a true public platform. Fox News was raising that issue today about the fact that Musk is going to be buying Twitter, or that at least is the plan right now. And they had on Joe Concha, who is also a contributor to Fox News. And the issue came up about some folks are just worried about rich people who can buy and get what they want. Listen to this conversation.
Meantime, Joe. Elon yeah. Musk laughing off a Washington Post op-ed that says, and I quote, Elon Musk's version of free speech will be bad for Twitter. Quote, we need regulation of social media platforms to prevent rich people from controlling our channels of communication. Joe, does the Post not know who owns them?
Quite remarkable, right? I believe that's Jeff Bezos, right? Who, when you talk about number one and number two, as far as guys that have a lot of money, all right, Todd, you're not one, I'm not one. Nope. We have some, but not like those guys, right? Billions upon billions. That's quite remarkable. And of course, the Washington Post feels this way, by the way. Their mantra is democracy dies in darkness. And for them to advocate the way Twitter has conducted itself in terms of censorship, in terms of suppression, in terms of targeting conservatives is precisely on brand. And they know that Elon Musk, who calls himself a free speech absolutist, is a huge threat to that.
That he's a threat to what they're doing, because what they're doing is not freedom of press. Now, there's a CNN columnist I'm going to share with you in the next segment that says he's not really interested in freedom. It's all a gimmick, a stunt. Everything that involves moving closer to democracy or actually realistically dealing with the situation, like busing illegals away from the border and dropping them off in D.C., if you're going to say they're free to come in, it's all a trick, a gimmick. However, they're doing it, and they're using immigrants, as they say, as props, it's all okay. It's acceptable in the name of the progressives. Then Concha was pointing out how Twitter has banned some but denied others. Listen.
More importantly, I just would like to see Donald Trump back on there if Vladimir Putin is allowed on Twitter and the Ayatollah Khomeini from Iran is on Twitter and the Taliban is on Twitter. I'm pretty sure then you have to be consistent in these matters. Allow everybody on Twitter and let people decide what they want to read and what they don't want to read.
Isn't that the way it should be? You either buy a particular magazine or newspaper because you want to read what's in there. Or maybe it's the only source you have, and you're discerning enough in your mind as to, I'm going to accept or reject some things. Same thing with choosing this radio program, which I'm glad you do. And remind your friends about it. I appreciate you sharing that. Let them also know we are live streaming the programs on Rumble.com and also putting up archives. When we come back, I want you to hear Tucker Carlson's take on Musk getting Twitter.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Elon Musk understands something about Twitter that many people in our country don't understand, which is it is the single most important forum for speech possibly in the world. Not because it's the biggest, but because it's where elite opinion is incubated. And so free speech on Twitter matters.
That's Tucker Carlson last night talking about Elon Musk and his plan to take over Twitter. As I said, today they came up with a poison pill, the board of directors, that basically would make it tougher for him to buy and maybe try to outbid him. He's already offering a 20 to 30% higher number than what the stock market was recording. And then I've got this CNN column here in front of me. It says, some billionaires buy newspapers, magazines, and sports teams. Elon Musk is trying to buy a social network that he himself admits might cause much of the world to hate him. He did say that during that interview on stage with the TED conference yesterday. He said, if I acquire Twitter and something goes wrong, it's my fault 100%. I think there'll be quite a few errors. But then the article goes on because he said he's stressing that his goal is to bolster free speech, unlock Twitter's potential, which means also letting everyone have access to why things are being banned. What's the algorithm that does it? What are the words? Who are the people behind it? And then he jumps into criticizing him on this point. To hear Musk tell it, the story of his Twitter offering is nothing less than protecting civilization as we know it. And he did say earlier, this is not a way to make money, and I don't really care about the money. $43 million, it'd be nice not to care about the money, right? But he doesn't. But then the writer goes in again, said, although it's still not clear that he's really going to be doing anything different. He's just, in other words, to their opinion, he's just talking about free speech, but it would contradict what he probably is going to do. Well, no one knows for sure until he has access to Twitter, if he gets it, and then what happens? But while so many are upset on the progressive side, that's why we were discussing in the last segment what happened on Fox News with Joe Concha, how the Washington Post issued an editorial saying, rich people buying something like that gives them control of the mind and everything else, basically. And Concha said, does the Washington Post, I guess they know, or maybe they don't know, that they're owned by Jeff Bezos. He and Musk are the two men in the world that have more money than anybody else. They're number one and two, one way or the other, on any given day. But here's someone who inherited a fortune and decided she wasn't going to buy anything like Twitter or anything. She already had a Disneyland made in front of her. In fact, she's the heiress of the Walt Disney, Disneyland, Disney World. We're talking about Abigail Disney. Just completed a documentary which explores America's dysfunctional and unequal economy and asks why the American dream has worked for the wealthy, yet is a nightmare with people born with less. Abigail was not born with less. She is the granddaughter of the Disney co-founder. Not even the daughter, the granddaughter. They are already making a lot of money and still do. But she is also one of the ones that used her position and her money and her corporation to attack Ron DeSantis in Florida and the state passing the parental rights law and fight against it, saying we need corporations to step up on principle, regardless of what the resulting backlash might look like. That was an op-ed she put in the Washington Post, obviously approved to be put in because it's Abigail Disney. And she said the only option for corporate leaders is to stand tall for authenticity, generosity, joy, decency. These things are kryptonite for the right-wing agenda. And fortunately, those things she named, she says, are also the heart and soul of the Disney brand. Decency? Decency it was until you decided to buy into the LGBTQ movement. John LaBoutier coming up as my guest. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Giving you a preview of what's coming up in the next segment, a piece written by Scott Powell talking about because of their experience with the resurrected Jesus, the apostles were in a unique position to know for certain that Jesus was truly the Son of God. He's a senior fellow at Discovery Institute and says the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most documented story in history. We're going to get into that in the next segment. This is Good Friday, and it's a good day to welcome my friend, John LaBoutier, former New York congressman back. Welcome back, John.
Larry, thank you for having me on this wonderful holy day of weekend. And let me just say, I say this a lot to you, you have the best music on your show.
Thank you.
And have for years, the bumper music, whatever it is, going in and out of commercials. Great.
Well, I appreciate it. I truly do. We work hard here. I've got a staff of about 30 or 40, maybe 50 people, I think.
You wish.
Yeah, you know better. Okay, I lied. And especially now since we're streaming on rumble.com, folks can look in and see the studio, and there's me only. No, I've got a lot of, I've got a couple of guys that Mike drawing a blank on the guy's name that helped me. I'm sorry. Now you put me in a bind.
Can't remember all 30 people.
call me Biden. So we have not had we've not had a chance to talk for a while. A lot of things I want to go through. But first of all, let's begin with the thing that's trending, and that is Elon Musk saying, I want to buy Twitter because I want it to be a full free speech platform the way it should be. I want to unlock its potential. Others are saying it's nonsense of what he wants to do, and rich people shouldn't own things like that, such as, I guess, Bezos owning the Washington Post. I'm sorry, John. Oh, you're breaking up there. Yeah, we're there. Now we got you, John. Now we got you better. No, we don't. What happened? All of my minions out there apparently are disconnecting the signal or something. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, John? Hey, gummit. He's on a landline. This is a landline. It should be a good and solid signal. I keep
good. We're good, Larry.
Now you're good. Okay, I apologize. So, your response to Musk buying Twitter,
which I heard a couple hours ago, has been turned down apparently.
Well, there's a poison pill they've been issued. Yeah, they did put that out to try to stop it, but I don't know that.
I happen to be a fan of Elon Musk because I'm a space aficionado.
Right.
As an amateur, I think what he's done with SpaceX is just beyond belief how good it is. And if that's how he – and everybody I know who has a Tesla, Larry, raves about it.
Yep.
Everybody. They love their car. Now, if he can make cars and put things in space, including a Tesla he put up in space, he could probably run Twitter better than they run it now. If I had any say, he'd be fine for me.
And his main point, again, is that he thinks – it's supposed to be a public forum platform, but too many times their algorithms are by manual manipulation. They deny people the right to speak while allowing others full access.
Well, I don't know that that's really true. They have banned people like Trump after the insurrection and the things he said about it, and they gave him a lifetime ban.
Yeah, and then
they
allowed
it and kept it.
And they allowed Khomeini and his jihadists calling for death to America to be on there on a regular basis.
Well, that's just so crazy that they're on there, if that's so. I mean, it's just nuts. So they need a uniform policy of what do you have to do to not be on there, you know?
All right.
Or let everybody be on, but I don't know. You know,
And, of course, they have protection. They have protection from lawsuits. No, you're right. And Big Tech has this protection, contrary to a paper or a broadcast outlet, that if something is said that is libelous, slanderous, and so where you cannot sue them because they have no control of who's sending what in before it suddenly appears.
Right. Even though they do have control over whether to publish it or not. That's the thing.
They should, yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I am a fan of Elon Musk.
I am too. I'm in this situation. I really am. Now, the other thing, Ukraine, of course, continues to be a disaster for the Russian invasion, and yet the Ukrainians are paying such a high price. Your thoughts?
Yeah, they are. And it's not so much their soldiers that are paying the price because they're doing a great job. It's this innocent civilians, the ones who couldn't move, couldn't leave. It's obviously, we've all seen it. It's evil personified, only we see it every night on the news. But the good news out of it is the good guys are winning. Ukrainians are winning. The Russians are losing. And, you know, it's the 21st century. It's high time dictators were no longer in this planet. We have a few left, and this one's one of the worst ever, and Putin, with nuclear weapons. If he had no nuclear weapons, he'd have been thrown out of here long ago. But with that as a protection, we can't fight him.
So what do you think about the Biden plan to try to reinitiate the Iran deal, which would help Iran get nuclear weapons and send money to Russia and help fund terrorist actions around the world?
Well, if any of that's part of the deal, it's a bad deal.
Well, it's not meant to be, but it will be, yeah.
Right. Well, the Iranian nuclear deal was designed to not allow them to get nuclear material and assemble a nuclear weapon. And when we pulled out of that deal, they then accelerated their acquisition of nuclear materials, and there are no inspections, and so they're off to the races.
And there were no inspections
going back.
Go ahead.
Right, no inspections. Right. So the point of this agreement, if we make it, and hasn't been made yet, is to have inspections, is to prevent them from acquiring fissionable material that you could make a weapon out of. We'll see. The deal's not done yet. It has to be done, believe it or not, with the very Russians we're fighting against.
And
that makes it kind of weird.
Now, speaking about weird, every poll is indicating we're going to see a red tsunami at the midterm, and everything many 11 Democrats are on record is that we cannot run on this. We cannot have the open border. Even Warnock in Georgia is against allowing more illegals to come in, dropping Title 42, and yet, of course, TSA continues to insist you have to wear a mask on the plane.
Yeah, and that Title 42 thing is going, I think, next month. I think it's in May.
May 23rd.
And that's the thing that we can use to keep illegals out based on COVID. And if they lift that, they'll be coming in even faster. And as for the red tsunami, it's going to be a red tsunami in the House. Senate, I'm a little less sure of, because Senate races, including where you are dependent on the candidate so much. You know, Eric Greitens, your former governor, has a lot of baggage. So even in a Republican year, a guy like that could lose, whereas House people are going to get swept into office. They're going to have a big year, the Democrats, this year. I mean, the Republicans against the Democrats, there's no doubt about it.
I agree fully on the House. And when it comes to the Senate, a third of the Senate's up. Warnock is one of those positions. You don't think enough seats could be won by Republicans?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I do. I don't think they're going to win that one. I think Georgia is the most fascinating example of a state changing right in front of our eyes from being a solid Republican state to being a swing state that went for Biden and threw out two Republican senators last year. And now they got to see if they can solidify it. And I think the Democrats, even in a Republican year, can keep Warnock, because Herschel Walker is a bad candidate. He's a bad candidate. And good candidates win races over bad ones. And I think Warnock is better. I'm not talking about his philosophy. I'm just talking about candidate skills, campaigning, answering questions, having no baggage, all that.
I want to give you the last 30 seconds for anything you want to say, reference Easter and what this means to you. 30 seconds for you.
Well, you know, Larry, I read Peggy Noonan in the Wall Street Journal today before you called me. And I urge people, if you can get that today, it's a column about this week in 1865 and how on this very week, the Civil War came to an end with the truce in a house in Appomattox. And then on Friday, Good Friday, President Lincoln was sort of celebrating the end of this terrible war when he was assassinated that night.
Yeah.
Died early Saturday morning. And they called Easter Black Easter for many years because of the death of President Lincoln.
Thank you. Thank you. We're out of time. Thank you, sir. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I really regret we had to wrap up that interview with John that fast. That phone problem cost us some time, but To reiterate what he was talking about, this Wall Street Journal opinion piece written by Peggy Noonan, a Pulitzer Prize winner, talking about the Easter of that April 1865, the Civil War, and that Lincoln was shot that Friday and his burial became Sunday, and it took on a new meaning for Easter Sunday, the from that time forward known as a Lincoln Black Sunday, or would be called Black Easter for some time to come. It is worth you reading the entire thing, Peggy Noonan, Wall Street Journal. The piece I want to share with you is written by Scott Powell. Before I do that, I was not going to do this, but I just cannot ignore it. Out of Italy today, of course, the Pope makes the Stations of the Cross on Easter Sunday, Good Friday. And for some reason, he decided he had to issue a statement reference refugees, talking about this first class, second class skin color, whether they come from a developed country or not. He said, "We are racist. We are racist. This is bad." And he's talking about the issue of migrants and refugees, not only across Europe, but of course here in the U.S., coming across our southern border, and compared it all to the flight into Egypt. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus when King Herod was seeking to kill him. But again, saying we are all racist. That's the word from the Pope. I was going to ignore it, but I don't want you to see it somewhere else. I want to know why I didn't cover it. I don't have anything to add to it. It's the Pope's remarks. Scott Powell, though, the acclaimed book Rediscovering America, which is now the Amazon's number one new release when it comes to history, wrote a piece talking about Easter and the celebration of Christ's resurrection. Now, I'm not trying to proselytize to you. If you have a different religion, be a Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, I'm not trying to do that. I just want you to hear what he has to say when it comes to details that have been documented. He said, Christ is the only person in history who was pre-announced starting 1,000 years before he was born. 18 different prophets from the Old Testament between the 10th and 4th centuries B.C. predicted his coming birth, life, and death. And hundreds of years later, the details of his birth, life, betrayal, the manner of death, validate all of those prophecies in surprisingly accurate and minute detail. And he said, as every consequential person of history came into the world to live, they ended up dying. That included Abraham. No Jew believed that after Abraham died and was interred, that his tomb was ever empty. He said, the four world religious beliefs are built on personalities, but only Christianity claims its founder is still alive, overcoming death through resurrection. He said, after Buddha died, no disciple ever claimed that he saw or spoke to him or heard from him again. As for Muhammad and his teachings, the basis of Islam, there is no trace of this founder appearing to disciples or followers after he died at age 61. His occupied tomb is in Medina, visited by tens of thousands of devout Muslims every year. Of course, there are stories made that people will try to question about that when Mary and the other women went back the next day, they went to the wrong gravesite, and it was empty. But they tell about encountering angels, wanting to say they encountered Jesus himself but didn't recognize him at the time. He said there are those that certainly would call it a hoax, but no one by name has come forward and ever said that. No one directly said it's a hoax. And the apostles held to that story and seeing him and touching him after he had been crucified to their death. They never denied it. He said, there are skeptics of the biblical account, but there's actually far more reliable historical evidence for his life, teachings, miracles, death, and resurrection than for any other historical figure of ancient time. And again, the apostles' willingness to die for the belief that he lived and he had taken away the world's sins for everyone. For everyone. I always loved the Bible quote that I came with mercy, not for justice, because I cannot stand justice. I need mercy. I know I'm a sinner. This is Good Friday, Sunday, the resurrection. Thank you for listening, and remember our pledge. There is one God, one nation, one God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.